Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Listen live on the Odyssey app.
All right, so let's get things going. Mahoney, got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, my friend?
Dave, why don't we start up today's show with some bad news?
Some bad news. This poor couple, they had had their wedding delayed for over a year thanks to all the COVID-19 stuff, and they were finally able to get married after all this time on July 3rd.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
Yeah, and they're super in love, and the big family gathering, and all their friends were there and everything else, and so they're doing, you know, kind of the usual where they get up at the reception, and it's time for their first dance, which is a big moment. I don't know about you, Audrey. Did you guys do like a big first dance?
Not like a huge. We didn't do like a choreographed thing. No. Yet.
I hated the first dance because I hate dancing. And so it's like, hey, let's do a dance where everyone watches you dance, even though you hate dancing.
That was the last time you danced with your wife.
Without question.
Yeah.
It will probably be the last time I danced with my wife ever. Mm-hmm. I don't like dancing. That's just not for me. Anyway, so first dance. Everyone's watching. Everyone's sitting there, you know, their hand over their heart.
Like, so sweet.
So sweet.
Oh, it's and so then emotional.
She blew out her knee.
How?
Well, I guess he tried to dip her and they didn't really know how to do it properly, or
and
her knee just for whatever
back.
Freak reason just gave out. And yeah. So they had to go to the hospital and spend multiple hours there. They're like, y'all keep enjoying the reception. We'll be right back.
Yeah, this is already paid for. Please keep enjoying.
Several hours later, they did return, but it was several hours later. And I wish that we could get a full recap of just how hammered everyone was when they showed back up.
Oh, her included. I bet she was all kinds of drugged up, wouldn't you think? If you dislocate
popping
your
knee
and you're
maybe
there for hours.
They did stabilize the knee, and the couple says they have no problem looking back on that night and sharing a good laugh.
Do we know what song she dislocated her knee to? Because I'm envisioning the cha-cha slide.
That or like the wobble?
Who has their first dance as the cha-cha slide?
Or the wobble.
Oh, true.
What are you doing?
No, that's
true. Triple A's.
No, that's when the dance floor fills up with everyone. And you need to get them going.
No.
Then the cha-cha slide.
I want you
slide.
To see me to do that. I'm the only one out there doing the cha-cha slide.
Because you have it down.
Yeah.
See, for me,
the instructions are in the lyrics.
Still, I have to cheat off other people and be like, what's my right foot?
I don't know the electric slide, but
don't?
I know the cha-cha,
the cha-cha slide.
Because, again, in the lyrics.
So smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, you real smooth now, just the way you move.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie Brown.
Flowing like water.
You doing the Charlie Brown, I would pay money to see, my honey.
Some good news today as well. A little girl named Mila. Mila Santa Maria, actually, is her full name. 6 years old. Dialed 911 Tuesday night, but quickly hung up. So the dispatchers immediately called back to make sure everything is okay. And she said, hey, I need you all to tell the sheriff tomorrow. And the dispatcher said, tell the sheriff what? And Mila said, tell him that I love him.
Aww.
And I love all of y'all.
Is this his daughter or something?
No. So they were so moved by the call that he sought out her family and met the girl face-to-face on Thursday. He brought some gifts with him for Mila, including a basket full of school supplies and a special Covington County Sheriff's Department challenge coin. So everyone at the Sheriff's Department, we've got to find out who this little girl is. And so sure enough, they decided that they were going to. She is starting first grade at the elementary school in just a couple of weeks, and so wanted to reach out and thank this little girl for being so sweet.
And now, Mila, you have a very easy pass on your first arrest. Congratulations.
Now,
get in trouble in the future, you just call that sheriff.
You remember me? I'm the little girl who called you. They're like, ma'am, you are naked.
And every time I try to call the police just to tell them I love them, I get tased.
Mm. Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. I didn't do anything. Ow!
That was the last time I called 911.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So Amazon is trying to get a key to people's apartment buildings.
That's a big no for me, dog.
So that was my first reaction, too. But so listen to their thinking here. They're kind of bribing some landlords with financial incentives to be able to do this, to give their drivers the ability to unlock apartment buildings by using a mobile device. So the service, dubbed Key for Business, is pitched as a way to cut down on stolen packages by making it easy to leave them in lobbies and not outside of the buildings.
Yeah, but then my entire inside has the potential of getting robbed.
Yeah, but I mean, so they aren't getting access to your apartment. They're just getting access to the building, and they're saying what's happening right now is that there's a lot of packages that are getting stolen because they have to be left outside because if the person's not home at the time and the person in the office isn't answering for whatever reason, they just have to leave the packages and go. So they just want to be
in the office
able to
building.
Put them in the lobby and then leave.
Okay, so this is different.
I still don't like this because if we remember many months ago, they were talking about wanting to do this inside of your apartment as well.
And your house and anywhere else. But there'd be like a camera set up and you'd see him come in and set it down.
This is just, it's the slow erosion of it. And I am good on that. If I'm worried, and you know if you're in an area where your packages get stolen, you just take them, get them delivered to an Amazon locker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that option. Yeah, for sure.
That's what you do.
I agree, Mahoney. I feel like, guys, do you feel like every day we have a new story about Amazon? I mean, and I know we are all living vicariously through him. He does not shop on Amazon. I am still so proud of you.
I do it for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have no willpower.
You don't have any Alexas or any Amazon products at all, any Ring cameras, nothing like that?
Nothing like that in my house. No.
But don't you feel like with all of these stories that you're kind of feeling a little yuck about it now? Like, I don't know. It's not necessarily the delivery service or Amazon as a website as a whole, but like these little infiltrations of Amazon partnering with Ring and Amazon now listening through your Echo and Amazon now wanting a key to your front door and Amazon wanting access to your dreams.
Yeah, they want to control every aspect of
tracking you while you sleep.
Yeah.
That was the one that freaked me out. It's like, it's not necessary.
So they can sell you more bootleg ass cables.
So Live Nation wants people to come back to live shows, and they're doing it with a pretty cool promotion. So they're celebrating a return to live music by offering concert goers cheap tickets. It's a $20 all-in ticket for almost 1,000 upcoming shows. Tell me if any of these tickle your fancy. Jonas Brothers?
Yeah.
Lil Baby?
Who?
No.
Three Doors Down.
Yeah.
So you pay $20 for each of these or $20 for all of them?
No, it's $20 per show, right? But still, I mean, that's an all-in, so that includes all the fees and everything else.
For Three Doors Down.
That's what I was saying.
You're like, maybe a little too much.
Why are you overcharging, guys?
$20 for Jonas Brothers. That's a deal.
Lady A is also on the list, and then Maroon 5. There's some other ones, too. But, I mean, those, you know, like Jonas Brothers and Maroon 5, tickets for that would definitely be more than $20. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a good price.
Yeah.
You're not interested, Mahoney?
For that lineup, I'm all right.
Tickets go on sale on the Live Nation website starting next week, July 28th.
Now, if we could get some Collective Soul and or what's that band? Tantric? Yeah.
Oh, Tantric and Collective Soul?
$20 all day long. I'm there.
So a New York man and a woman from Maine, what up, Maine, are facing charges after they were found to have cocaine disguised as cake in their vehicle, acting on a tip. Which, who tipped off somebody about my cocaine cake?
I went through all this trouble.
I made a cocaine cake.
So many different episodes of Cake Wars to learn how to properly use that fondant or whatever.
Fondant is gross.
Hey, but you know what? I've got an Eiffel Tower, a very lifelike replica of the Eiffel Tower in cake and cocaine form now.
I bought the entire season of Cake Boss from TLC to get ready for this, and you're going to tip off the cops? Come on.
I think, is Cake Boss on TLC?
I don't know.
No,
I don't know if he's making cakes anymore because his hand, remember?
Oh, that's right. He got messed up. So according to the tip, the cops stopped the car while it was driving down the road, and a drug-sniffing dog found 4 pounds, 2 kilos of cocaine worth $200,000 in the cake, also $1,900 in cash.
Call me, I don't want to dog on that dog.
Yeah.
But if you're going to hide your drugs, don't, like, put it in a form that dogs would want to eat no matter what.
Yeah, because the dog is going to alert to that thing, whether it's cocaine or just a cake.
Yeah.
It's like, this is delicious. This sounds great. I'm just curious, like, do you just eat the cake and then get coked up, or do you got to, like...
No, I bet you cut into it and there's, like, a hole in the middle. Kind of like, you know how kids' cakes have a lot of, like, those, like, candies that are stuffed in the middle of the cakes now, or, like, sprinkles when you cut it into it. It just spills
out. So it's a cocaine cake pinata is what you're saying.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's
what
I'm envisioning anyway.
Yeah, instead of hitting it with a bat, you hit it with a nose.
Yeah.
Right in.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail, 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's the most disrespectful thing a guest has ever done in your house? We are a non-shoes household, and once someone tracked a bunch of mud into the house, and we haven't talked to them since.
Message deleted.
That sounds like Mahoney. Makes everyone take their shoes off the second they walk in his house.
No, I don't. Just before you get on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know your shoes have been walking in bathrooms through mud?
Through mud? Yeah, all sorts of things. Mud?
Bringing in germs from the street.
See, but what happens whenever you host? Because before the pandemic, you had, you know, people over for the fights and things. And some people don't know or don't want to take off their shoes whenever you're at a party.
When we have multiple,
how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I don't wear party socks. I'm not prepared for this.
When we have multiple people over, that's when we get our our carpet shampooed.
Afterwards,
we plan for it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's smart.
We don't make anybody when there's a large group, but if it's just
a few,
two people
over,
man. Take shoes off.
But what good does it do to leave your shoes on the tile?
Because cleaning tile is easy. All you do is swiffer it.
So you clean the tile every time somebody comes over?
I don't, but
you
we
don't,
have.
Exactly.
I got somebody who does.
Your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more her thing than my thing.
I got it.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You guys are talking about what horses and oxen pull. Of course horses pull wagons. What do you think cattle people use and cowboys down in the southern and western parts of the states use? And of course horses plow fields. Sorry. What do you think the Amish use? They use the big Percherons and Belgian horses to plow their fields. You guys need to get your facts straight.
Message
you need
deleted.
To get your mouth straight because I don't know what a wagon is.
Okay,
yeah,
so
thanks,
first
Quinn,
off,
medicine woman.
You don't have to attack her because the way that she talks, she is factually correct,
no,
much like
not.
I was. Mahoney's over here berating people, acting like a horse can't pull a wagon if it needs to. Sure, it
pulls
can.
A carriage, not a wagon.
Not just
it
carriages. It also can pull a
horse
a wagon.
Pulling anything it, makes it a carriage.
It
by
also can pull
default.
A field. So no. if a carriage is being pulled by an oxen, it's not a carriage.
Go show me. Go find a place where a horse is plowing a field, Dave.
She just said it. The Amish do.
No, all of a sudden now anybody says anything, all of a sudden it's true?
Don't start with this, Mahoney.
Hang on. I will Google a picture of a horse plowing a field.
Oh, because anything
for
you find
right
on the internet in picture form is true?
Here he goes.
Okay.
Here
he goes. Also, you were like, you didn't use horses in the Oregon Trail? He just shows you're an Oregon Trail poser.
What do you mean I'm an Oregon? That's the most hurtful thing you've ever said to me.
Because it's the most truthful thing. Because if you're talking, I thought the horses pulled the wagon.
700,000 pictures of horses plowing fields. That is not
a
donkey.
Ox.
That is not an ox.
That's an ox.
You're an idiot. That is a horse.
It's an ox named Horse.
It's a horse of a horse, a horse of course. There's two horses.
Nah, people use oxen to plow fields.
No, they don't. Use an oxen to plow.
No, you can.
Horses are too majestic.
Certainly use an ox to plow a field, but then you can also use a horse.
I'll tell you something. In Alabama, there is not a single oxen plowing any field.
Yeah, it's all John Deere.
Well.
Uh huh.
They use deer.
Okay, so that's the biggest argument is that we don't use animals like we used to back in the days. Now
we have tractors.
We have
machines.
It's just another job being beat out by AI.
That's right. Yep. We need a horses union around here. Protect their workers' rights.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I think I was raised pretty weird, and tell me if I'm wrong, but every time we were in the car and we started acting up, my parents would threaten to turn the car around, and then they would actually do it.
Message deleted.
Oh, I appreciate your parents for doing that.
I don't think I've ever had my parents actually turn the car around.
No, mine did.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you went home?
But it would be
what did you do?
It would be towards a place that, they didn't already want to go in the first place.
Oh, that makes sense.
You're going to, Six Flags or something, right?
Yeah, you go to
Disney
World
just
on a vacation with the family. You're like, nope, back to Ohio. Sorry, kids.
No, the tickets are already bought. Ours was, McDonald's and that fun play place. On Sundays,
yeah.
We would always go there, which is so funny. But
by the way,
the
McDonald's play places on Sundays, absolute mayhem. There was no regulations as to how many people could be on that little slide and in the ball pit at once.
Kids climbing on top of slides, under slides.
Yeah, there's 100,000 children in this thing simultaneously any given Sunday.
So one of the last times I was in a Chick-fil-A, which has been a while since I've been inside of a Chick-fil-A,
mm-hmm.
but the one near my house has a play place inside of it. And I was there with our friend Bossy Rossi.
Right.
And there was a lady who was complaining about the kids being too loud in the play place.
That's how play places work, lady.
Yeah.
This is their one time.
I came to Chick-fil-A for a quiet, pristine, high-end meal, and here I am having to listen to screaming children.
They weren't even screaming. They were just laughing. They were having a good time. It was the most Karen thing I've ever seen in my life.
I hate the sound of children laughing. Said Karen.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So I have never heard a story like this before, but I guess this is a bit of a warning to all of us. Do not F with eBay employees.
What do you mean?
So in a lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in Boston, a couple said they feared for their lives after a harassment campaign of terror and threats by eBay officials.
What?
This family says that they're paralyzed by fear. There was an unrelenting stream of threats to kill, disturbing deliveries, as well as physical surveillance, causing the family to suffer from significant and continued emotional distress, including but not limited to anxiety and panic attacks. The suit was filed against eBay and a couple of other companies as well. And the lawsuit alleges that the former eBay CEO and VP, like, were creating burner accounts on Twitter to harass this family.
Whoa.
The harassment alleges to the eBay executives mailing packages of live spiders, cockroaches, a bloody pig mask, a book about dealing with death of a spouse to their home.
Doesn't that seem a little far-fetched, though?
It sure does, which is what's crazy.
But if you've got the receipts to prove it?
I mean, but do you, though? Or are you just speculating, like, well, their burner accounts, and then all of a sudden there was packages of live spiders, which also, I would hate to be the UPS store employee who has to
wrangle up.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, wrangle up. All right, hand me 30 tarantulas. Wait, one's missing. They say that they were using this guy's name, and the eBay executives started, like, doing subscriptions to porn magazines and then sending it to his neighbor's house to discredit him. The couple said the harassment included advertisements on Craigslist for sex parties at their house,
yeah,
including the address and instructions to walk in any time of day.
Yeah.
12 separate counts, including intentional infliction of emotional distress.
So they're swingers.
Stalking. Yes.
Conspiracy, they got into defamation. The lifestyle. Yeah. You know,
now they love it.
Open their eyes.
They actually just wanted to bring this lawsuit forward to thank eBay for
introducing them. You saved our marriage. Yeah. You saved our marriage.
After all these years, we had to spice it up somehow, and a box of live spiders and a bunch of swingers did it for us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eight legs and eight, yeah.
So a reporter for the NFL Network tweeted out that there is some new news about the NFL and what their plans are when it comes to COVID. There, of course, is an 18-week season that's on the way, and they're saying that if there's a COVID outbreak because of an unvaccinated player, the team will forfeit and credit with a loss for the playoff seeding if the players are not vaccinated. You're shaking your head, Audrey. What do you think?
I think that this is a little ridiculous, to be completely honest. I know that we all are big proponents of the vaccine. We all want everyone to get the vaccine. But costing, forfeiting a game, and it almost feels like forced vaccination for a player. Again,
it's not forced. I mean, you're in the NFL by choice. I don't know.
But you're costing or forfeiting on both sides and with no pay as well.
No, you're not.
I don't know.
You're not forfeiting,
yes, you are,
for the other guys.
Yes,
other
you
team
are. Both teams are going to go unpaid, correct?
No.
That's not how their contracts work.
If there's an outbreak amongst, let's call it, the Cleveland Browns, because that's, of course, where it's going to happen. I don't know why. It just seems like
always
very on-brand. So if there's an outbreak with
the
Cleveland Browns,
Rams,
and they're supposed
they
to play the Baltimore Ravens, if there's the outbreak on the Browns team, mm-hmm, the Ravens
are fine.
They still get paid, and they get the win.
But it's because of the Browns outbreak that the game's been canceled. It's just they don't want to reschedule later on in the season,
yeah,
like we did later on. I don't think that's fair to the players, especially, like, you need those bye weeks going towards the playoffs because that's where a lot of injuries end up happening.
I mean, according to this article, I mean, it does say that the team's players will receive, neither of the team's players will receive the money for that week.
That's why I said that. Right. That's why I was confused.
But that can't be right.
Because contracts.
Players union won't allow that.
Well, because whenever I was reading this, I was like, you can't take away pay just because somebody's not vaccinated, like you said, in a contract or whatever. Like, that's just not how that works. So that's why I was shaking my head, because whenever I was reading this, there was just too many nuh-uhs to be happening.
Yeah, it is definitely causing a lot of players, including, like, DeAndre Hopkins, like, big star players, he got on social media and was talking about how he's thinking about retiring because of this, which, of course, isn't going to happen, because then you'd owe the Cardinals $22 million in a signing bonus.
But you can't fire somebody if they don't have a vaccine.
No, but you can make it really difficult on them if they don't have a vaccine and you're encouraging vaccines. So they're not forcing vaccines on people. It's just they're making it really hard for everyone else that doesn't have the vaccine to remain unvaccinated. And, it's a private company, and you make the argument, well, if you don't want to get the vaccine, then don't work here. I understand why people are upset about this, but I also understand why the NFL is doing it, because they're trying to protect their product.
Most companies, or a lot of companies right now, the way that they operate, if you work for a corporation, if you're not vaccinated, like, either you're not coming in the office or you have to wear a mask.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's there are rules, and it's not just the NFL that it's setting them. And obviously, if anybody's been paying attention over the last couple of days, the talking points for everybody have changed, and pretty much everybody on both sides of the aisle are encouraging everybody to get vaccinated. So I think with everything that's going on and the spread, maybe they're onto something. Maybe when the politicians start, when they all start getting in line, maybe they know something.
So this is interesting. A high-ranking Sydney academic, a professor at a school, has been found guilty of faking a series of threats delivered to her home, including one in which she said that somebody sent her her own underwear, but she was actually doing it herself. So her name is Diane Jolly, 51 years old, was found guilty on 11 charges, including multiple counts of conveying information like a person making a threat for their safety. So she pleaded not guilty and throughout her trial denied the prosecution's allegation that she was responsible for sending like all these bizarre threatening letters to herself. And then she said that there's fake hate mail coming in. And
Why was she doing this?
She's basically inventing all of these haters. They don't really know.
Was it to get security?
No, it was just for attention.
She wanted support because she was going through a particular medical course, and she was hoping that this would garner some support to get her through that.
People who people who do sad clout is so weird to me.
Like, is that what it's called, sad clout?
Well, yeah. I'm dubbing it that because all they do is cry and pine for attention and do this victim-y thing.
Yeah.
So bizarre. It's yucky, too.
I would understand if she was doing it for, like, she wanted, like, security for some reason. Because if anybody's ever looked into private security, not saying that I have, it's very expensive.
You've looked into private security?
I want some, like, Floyd Mayweather-style bodyguards who are, like, 6'12".
You got a big back, man. You're fine.
I mean, but no, I'm not 7 foot tall.
You got a big back. Small front, but big back.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yo! Fast food freakouts.
If I wasn't in this car, man, I'd come in there and kick your ass.
Ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
You know, we see some really happy moments happening at fast food restaurants. Like Giannis after he wins the NBA title and he's MVP and he goes to Chick-fil-A to get his nuggets. And, I mean, I get it, man. Like, people, like we were talking about earlier, Mahoney, when we were kids, used to go to the ball pit at McDonald's. I used to have the time of my life hanging out at McDonald's.
You remember the outdoor play pits, too?
Oh, yeah.
Those were the...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you would get on Mayor McCheese on that, like, big-ass weird spring.
Yeah. It's got that rusty-ass spring that's squeaking and bouncing back and forth, just having the time of your life.
Dangerous as hell.
Yeah.
But I'd ride the hell out of Mayor McCheese.
I bet you would, Mahoney.
I've never seen a fast food fight, I don't think, in real life. Waffle House,
really?
Yes, but at a fast food restaurant, I don't think so.
I've been involved in a couple.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I had a friend who was a Gold Gloves boxer who got attacked by this crazy person, and we're like, hey, man, don't mess with that dude. He's a Gold Gloves boxer, and then he did, and then attacked our buddy, and then our buddy just knocked him out inside of a White Castle.
That's pretty cool. So you may have a hand up here, Mahoney. I mean, you have firsthand experienced some fights. Yeah, fast food freakout. These are all real freakouts that you're about to hear. I'm gonna give you the setup, and then I'll play the audio, and then I'll give you a multiple choice of which restaurant it could have happened in. You guys trying to figure out which is which, okay?
All right.
So the first one here, this is actually the employees fighting each other.
Oh.
So I don't know what started this, but this is how it ended.
No, let him do this and call the 1-800 number, please.
All right. Absolutely.
I'm calling Gary right now.
I am calling Gary. I'm the boss.
I'm calling Gary too.
I have a customer that's really angry waiting for his sandwiches.
Yeah, but you know what? If she didn't get my...
All three of you guys need to go right now.
Go ahead, work by yourself. I'm just...
Sir, I'm sorry. I apologize.
You said you're leaving it alone, so you should have stopped everything. I have to punch out.
I need to look at his order. You could punch out over there.
I think you need to refund my order.
I'm calling Gary.
Was that a Popeyes?
You need to refund my whole order.
A, a Popeyes, B, a Wendy's, or C, a Jack in the Box?
Audrey. That's a Wendy's.
That is, in fact, a Wendy's. Very
great call.
How could you tell?
I just was feeling like the hostility between manager and coworker would only be at a Wendy's because sometimes that's just chaotic energy that happens.
You don't see
there.
You don't see too many people melting down at a Wendy's.
Not
maybe
often.
In the drive-thru, but not inside.
Yeah. Lots of calls to Gary, though.
For sure.
On to number two, a woman is upset with the attitude of the drive-thru employees, and a fight ensues.
You better do it right now. I'm going to watch you do it right now because that is a bullshit. What? Don't talk to me like that.
I talk to you however I want.
You don't talk to me however you want?
Yeah. Yeah, get out of my drafting.
Is that when a fight starts?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, yes.
Who won?
Hands were thrown.
Ian, who won that fight?
The drive-thru employee.
Attagirl.
Unfortunately.
Oh, a little bit
you know
of
what?
Extra information
You should be able to
there.
like protect yourself. If somebody in your drive-thru or your workplace is disrespecting you like that, you're allowed one punch.
One punch. Was that A, McDonald's, B, a Burger King, or C, a Popeyes? Mahoney.
That's a Popeyes.
It ain't.
It's not.
It's a McDonald's.
It's not.
Whoa, it's a Popeyes?
No, it's a Burger King. Oh, it's a Burger King. Burger King.
Yes. I should have known.
Should have known.
Should have known.
You were right there.
Right now. Why was he saying it like that? But
the drive-thru lady won that fight?
Well, if you want to call it a win in the fight, but she probably lost her job. So
yeah, worth it, though.
Worth it.
Third and final one. This guy
take his job and punch it.
Is complaining and complaining about making complaints.
You're useless. I'll tell you. I've had enough of this. I've complained to the head office. I don't know how many times about this store. It's bullshit. I've just given 2 kilometers because you burger. It happens constantly from this store. This
that's a mad Aussie.
That is very,
very
mad
upset.
Aussie. Is that A, a White Castle, B, a Hardee's, or C, a McDonald's?
Audrey.
Audrey.
A Hardee's question mark?
No, not a chance.
I didn't know where was he in the land down under or was he in the States?
Hardee's are the same as Carl's Jr.
Yeah, but is it Hardee's or Carl's Jr. in Australia? Do they have those over there?
Burger King in Australia is called Hungry Jack's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Okay. Well, that's not an option.
Is it a White Castle or a McDonald's for the win?
You're not waiting that long at a White Castle, so that's got to be a McDonald's.
That is a McDonald's, and congratulations. That means Audrey gets the win.
We tied.
Audrey wins.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Audrey.
She got more wrong than me.
Good job, team.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Boy, what a headline this is. A man gets bitten by an alligator after his bicycle falls into the water. Dang it. So, a Martin County, Florida sheriff's office said the victim was just cruising along on his bike at the local park where, for whatever reason, I don't know if he hit something or he wasn't paying attention or whatever, he fell into the water and immediately got attacked by an alligator. And, I mean, it was serious. They had to, like, life flight him out of there. So, thankfully, there was somebody that was nearby that was walking their dog, and they see this going on. They run over to the guy, and they use their dog leash as a makeshift tourniquet to stop his leg from bleeding because the gator was getting him on the leg, and obviously, you know, big arteries in there and everything else. And a couple of other people lifted him out of the water. They say that he, for whatever reason, fell into the water, and it just happened to be, like, right on top of an 8-foot female alligator, which they brought in a trapper, they caught the gator, and they just relocated it and you know, put it down or anything like that. Because, you know, it is an alligator just being an alligator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could use some boots, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nice belt.
Mm-hmm.
Cool-ass alligator hat.
Leave that dinosaur alone.
But, yeah, thankfully, the guy is probably going to be fine because of this fast-thinking dog walker that was out there with his leash. But, man, what a series of unfortunate events.
Falling off your bike into the water in the first place
falling
is,
off
how
your
does
bike,
that happen?
Period, right? I mean, just falling off your bike, if you're just cruising around, like,
so embarrassing.
Doing your day-to-day, it's bad. But normally you, like, scuff your knee. Falling into the water, as you said, very embarrassing and much worse.
Yeah.
Falling on top of an alligator is almost just comical.
Was this dude trying to bunny hop an alligator? Is that what happened?
Hell yeah,
maybe,
bro.
Maybe. So there is obviously a lot of conspiracy theorists that are out there. And I don't know if you guys heard about this fire that happened in BC, so in British Columbia, in Canada. There was a wildfire that forced a bunch of residents to flee at a moment's notice. And it burned down 90% of the village. A couple of residents die.
Wow.
And there are a bunch of conspiracy theorists that are saying, this just doesn't add up, man, because these cars burned in this fire. And this particular guy who's got this big gray beard, he's shirtless, of course, while making this video. He does not think that it was actually just a fire that came through because there were some trees that were burned and others that were not. And so, you know, the cars caught on fire, even though they're not that flammable, according to him and his shirtless self.
They've got massive tanks full of gasoline in them.
Yeah, and so he thinks that it was a giant laser beam.
Do we have audio of this shirtless
laser beams attached to their heads?
Yeah, that was him, I think.
Oh,
yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
That sounded like Mike Myers.
Yeah, so this guy.
He's Canadian.
He's sitting here walking around, and he is fully convinced that it was not an actual just normal fire. The speculation from authorities is that there was a train that was going through the area, and something flew off the train, or a spark was caused by that train, and that just caused a fire, right?
Uh-huh.
And it burned down the village and everything else, and people had to flee, and it sucks. He is really convinced that it was a full-on laser beam sent in by some secret government to burn up this village in British Columbia.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you love it when you have the foresight to go, you know what, I'm going to get an Uber because I know I'm going to go out with my friends tonight, or I'm going to go out with my significant other and we're going to have some drinks and I'm just going to be safe. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about picking up your car the next day or any of that nonsense. You're just thinking ahead.
Being an adult.
Yes. And this Florida man who happens to be a firefighter did exactly that. He is 42 years old. His name is Earl Henry Jones, which sounds like somebody who would assassinate a president.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested last weekend after him and his female companion went out and they got an Uber to take them back to their vacation rental. He was having a problem locating his wallet and cell phone. You guys ever do that when you're really drunk? You're
like, all the time.
Where's my stuff?
It's just
where's
your,
my stuff?
It's in your pocket.
It's normally in your pocket.
No, you know where it's at? In your cargo pockets, in your cargo jorts.
You're damn right.
And you just forget that you put it in that very convenient pocket that you got there.
It's right there by your knee.
Uh-huh.
This guy started furiously ripping this guy's Uber apart because he demanded that he pull over and stop so he could find his wallet and his cell phone. Maybe he was suspicious that this Uber driver had stolen his belongings.
Okay.
And so he starts tearing this guy's car apart, and so the Uber driver gets out and is trying to help this guy look for it, at which point Henry Jones decides, I'm going to punch him in the face. That'll help. I'm gonna sock him right in the kisser. And he did. And then he put the guy in a headlock. And the Uber driver's like, well, enough of this, and decided he was going to run away, at which point Earl Henry Jones chased him down and started whooping his ass again, and then finally let him be, and got in the guy's Uber and stole it and drove it all of 100 yards to where his vacation rental was, went inside, and fell asleep.
And I bet he found all of his belongings as well.
Did not say whether or not he found all of his belongings. Did say that he was charged with robbery, carjacking, and battery, though, so... Not a great night for old Earl Henry Jones.
I mean, putting somebody in a headlock, though.
That's a pretty good
I feel like that's a lost art. Like, do you think it was like the front headlock where you're benched over, you know, like he's bent over and he got him like that, you
he's
know, like wrestling style?
Yeah.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
How many stories do we have to share like this before people are going to stop stealing money from the government? I mean, we've seen all this pandemic money, all this unemployment money
mm-hmm.
get stolen time and time again. Here's another story. 7 San Diego County residents are facing federal charges for allegedly submitting false claims for pandemic unemployment insurance, including a former hospital employee who was stealing confidential patient files in order to carry out the fraud.
Oh, hell
no. Isn't that neat? So 5 defendants are accused of filing 108 separate claims, which paid out more than $1.6 million.
How did these people, like, what banks did you go to rip off these PPE loans and the unemployment insurance when everybody I knew who tried to get a PPP loan or was dealing with the unemployment insurance at the time.
Like legitimate companies that were trying
to
get
the hardest time.
Could not get one to save their life. Yeah. So this guy, he worked at the hospital. His name is Matthew Lombardo, 52 years old, and he is accused of stealing confidential patient files like their names, dates of birth, addresses, social security numbers, and more information.
Oh, so he was using other people's names to file unemployment.
Yes.
Even
and then,
worse.
And then scooping the money. And so that way it was showing on their social security number that they had gotten that money, and really they, of course, had not. $1.6 million, but of course they all got busted because they always do.
Yes.
Maybe this is the cynic in me, but I feel like the one thing that you could rely on people to always do and always be are just losers. Like, what do you mean? Like, we hear more about this than we do of awesome stories of people who are out here just doing good by their neighbor than they do on a daily basis, just like stealing money from people who actually need it.
I'm a big proponent of identity theft. They need to make those penalties so much higher. Because it's becoming, like, the way that the world is working right now, like, everything's based on credit. Everything is based on, you know, your information. Like, and you steal somebody's somebody's information, you ruin it. Like, that's
really
take
messing up their lives. Yeah,
to fix in some cases. So it's like, we need to make these penalties way harsher.
Oh, so whenever you get your identity stolen and, like, something like this were to happen, the banks don't cover that for you? Like,
it depends on the specific situation. But I've had friends who've had their identity stolen, and they've been on the hook for the money that was taken out in their name.
Well, other times,
awful.
Too, it just screws up your credit, right?
Yep.
And so if you're trying to buy a house or trying to finance
house,
a car
anything.
Or anything, right?
Everything's
even,
more expensive.
Even some jobs will run your credit before they give you a gig, which
is
crazy.
What we dub as important among almost all else,
right,
is your credit score.
So the internet broke yesterday. If you were trying to log on to, you know, huge websites like Amazon and UPS and Southwest Airlines, Home Depot, Airbnb, Disney, FedEx, UPS, PlayStation, Fidelity, all of them.
We forget to pay a bill?
Yeah, no, last month there was a huge outage that hit some of those same websites. But yesterday it was namely Amazon, UPS, Southwest. And the cause of the outage remains unknown, but there was a global content delivery network, and they were having a widespread issue with one of their DNS services. So if you were trying to log on to some of those big websites yesterday and you couldn't, it's not because your phone or your computer sucks. It's really like those websites, unbelievably, kind of, were down.
I was trying to play some Modern Warfare yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, excuse me, Warzone. Oh. And I could not access the servers.
Oh,
really? What did you do instead?
I just kept refreshing for like 10 minutes, then finally got in.
What a good story.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So Ian had a rather revealing show where he was talking about all kinds of stuff in his relationship, and you said that she did not change the locks. And you were sharing information about the two of you, but that was also kind of, if you will, oversharing.
Definitely. Well, that's
but that's the point of the overshare chair, of course. But when you got home last night, she was cool.
She was cool.
Good.
She doesn't believe me in some of the facts that I stated, but I
like
told
you've only been with 10 people.
Yeah, but I confidently told her that that is indeed the number that I'm sticking to.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is the number that you're sticking to. That makes it more believable when you say it that way. Yes,
indeed.
Sticking to that number.
Everything's all good.
Good. Travis said, when me and my girl first started dating, I went to Sapphire Strip Club with some friends, and I made out with a stripper. And I got violently sick for 3 weeks. She felt bad at the time, told her a few years later, big mistake. She brings it up whenever she gets super angry. But happily, married, with two kids, things are going great.
So wait, you were dating her
at the time,
and you made out with a stripper?
First started dating, made out with a stripper. Like,
why would you make out with a stripper to begin with?
Yeah. Like, what stripper is making out with anyone?
Yeah, that seems so, like, they don't want to, like, what are you?
Kissing people and stuff.
He said,
So I was reading, thinking about this topic. I was reading this post on Reddit a couple days ago, and there was one where this guy was asking if he was the a-hole for being mad at his girlfriend because she said that he had a boyfriend. It was boyfriend junk.
What?
She's husband material. Junk.
Or like significant other. Like you have.
Somebody that I want to date
commitment
long.
Junk.
Okay.
Like,
no, that's a compliment though, right?
But he said, what does that mean? Like, what does
boyfriend
junk mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's good for every day.
But it's not the fun kind.
Yeah.
It's not like the down and dirty fun. But also, it's not toxic, is what she's saying.
Well, but she's saying the other ones, may
more fun.
May take time to recover from.
It's like saying you're not the fine cut Wagyu steak at that you only enjoy on special occasions.
You're the tried and true ribeye.
Yeah, no, you're the flank steak.
Sirloin.
Yeah.
You're
available in a 3-pack at Walmart.
Oh, man.
$14.95.
That's pretty awful.
That's not. Why would you say that to somebody?
I don't know. There's certain things that you should never say to your significant other. And I think, as a dude, if you got junk that's not great, or it's not, you're not going to be in any movies, movies.
This was about size, not about performance.
Yeah, this was about that.
If your significant other just never comments on your junk, though, isn't that kind of the same thing?
But better to say nothing than to say
true.
Anything.
Yeah,
I would say
true.
In
that's
that
true.
Particular situation.
Yeah.
Oof, that's rough.
That is rough.
Yeah.
I feel for that guy.
I felt so bad. I was like, I don't know.
Are they still together?
Yeah, but it was it pained me reading that.
Come on, girls.
This one from Jesse and Henderson. I made a pretty sizable mistake about 20 years ago when I was young and dumb. I told my now ex-wife that about what was going on at work, where my buddy was stealing car parts, selling them, and then cutting me in on the profits for not saying anything. Long story short, we split up, and she was pissed, and she told my boss I got charged, arrested, and spent 7 months in jail.
Wow.
Now I don't tell anyone anything.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on social media @Dave and Mahoney.
So this one texted over to us from 757. My wife is very sweet and very pretty and proper, but early on in the relationship, I got drunk and told her that I had to have diarrhea, and she was super grossed out. And so now she returns the favor by telling me whenever she is going to go have diarrhea.
That's
I should have just kept that to myself.
That's love.
That's fine. I mean, I think you need to know these things. This is pertinent information.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
no, it's not. Not every time.
Not like, every
if you're
going
to go to the bathroom and do your business, don't tell me about your business.
Not
and
every
also,
time.
Close the door, Audrey.
No.
Do you leave the door open when you have diarrhea?
Not when it's like full poop soups, no. Like, I mean, I'm closing the door whenever things are going wrong.
But yeah, like, we're supposed to go hiking today, and like, my guts are getting blown up.
You should know.
Yeah, like, we can't do that today.
This story reminds me.
Which is also a good excuse just to
get out. To not go hiking.
Yeah, exactly.
To not go hiking?
Yeah, if you're in
I mean, literally, I will take diarrhea as opposed to having to go hiking.
Like, we're just walking.
Come on.
We're walking up a hill for no reason.
Walking up.
Yeah, now we have to walk down.
Well, walking down's much easier.
It's much easier, but the whole...
You ever do a hike where you walk down first? I did one of those recently.
Oh, what a mistake that is,
and
huh?
What a disaster. Yeah. Like, walking... The second half is walking up.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, so you know what's less cool? Is hiking with kids. Because last time, you'd think walking down was easy.
Oh,
and
no.
This was like a 5.5-hour round-trip hike to the top of this dumb hill in Seattle. And my five-year-old daughter had decided that she was just done walking.
Would you have to carry her?
Dog does that sometimes? Yes, I had to carry her down the hill, which when you're carrying a five-year-old down a hill, it's challenging.
Were you so sore the next day?
It sucked. And I was like wearing jeans because I wasn't planning on hiking.
Underprepared.
Yes.
Oh, the worst.
A 5.5-hour round trip. That's too
I thought it was jeans. Just going to be right there. I had no idea.
So chafed.
I mean, boy, did I close my rings that day, though.
Oh,
got my
man.
Steps in. Mahoney, this story reminds me of you from Juan. He said, shouldn't have told my ex that I was flirting with her sister behind her back, and she got pissed and broke up with me, and then I got with her sister. And the reason why that reminds me of you is because it wasn't one, it wasn't two, but it was three different sisters from Mahoney.
I mean, these things happen, Dave.
Wait, excuse me, Mahoney.
Have you not heard this story?
It was the course of a decade.
Over the course of a decade, you were hitting on one girl with three different sisters or three different girls?
He hooked up with three different sisters in the same family.
The sisters pursued me.
What about the mom?
No. Mom hated me.
Man, you could have conquered the whole family.
Nah, I hated her mom.
Yeah, that's
is that why you did it?
Should have got the dad, too.
That's weird why the mom hated you.
No, I dated one. The other one was, like, really hot. And then, like, years later, the youngest one, who
youngest
was,
sister.
Like, 26 at the time or whatever it was, made a
pass?
Made a move. And I was all right, whatever.
Yeah. Did they all know?
The oldest two know. Neither one of them know about the youngest one, though.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And she can keep a secret.
Yeah.
What a weird.
They all hate each other, though. So that's.
Oh,
like,
that helps. That helps. Yeah. So. That's good. You just got to find three sisters that hate each other that are all hot.
It works.
This one from Wes in Forest Acres. She said, where do I start? I was getting serious with my girlfriend. So she was inviting me to meet everyone in her hometown, you know, family, friends, and all that stuff, and her best friend. She's been best friends with this person since they were kids. Well, she was just very nice, and we both exchanged pleasantries and went about our ways. Only problem was that we had spent an extended weekend banging each other one year during spring break. Not sure what the odds are of her having gone to Miami in 2012, but I was content just to keep it quiet. Well, stupid Missy got drunk and all emotional that night and spilled the beans. My girlfriend was pretty cool about it, but damn it, Missy. So he went back to the hometown of his girlfriend because things were getting serious. She's introducing him to everyone. He meets her best friend. By chance, that happens to be the girl that he was hooking up with at spring break nine years ago.
If you hooked up with somebody eight years ago, keep your mouth shut.
Right?
Also, yeah, like that's like a weird thing. That's like a really weird thing for you to sit there and get emotional over somebody who you had a weekend with 8 years
ago. On spring break?
Also, the only reason why you're telling her about it is for your own devices. Like, it doesn't do anyone any good. It's just going to try to alleviate your guilt.
Also, who can remember a decade ago spring break?
I mean, if she's really hot.
Even then.
Nah, she's really
even,
hot.
Even
yeah,
then.
I mean, pre-social
media.
I can't remember anything from 8 or 9 years ago. But if she's real hot,
I don't think so.
Nah, certain people get put in a certain bank.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Call or text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
So have you ever made the mistake, Mahoney, Audrey, Ian, of telling your significant other when they ask you a question, the true answer? The most obvious one is, how many people have you been with?
Just you, baby.
No, I know that you've learned that now, but I'm saying when you were younger, did that ever come up?
Younger, sure.
And you made the mistake of giving them the real answer.
But also, I feel like the older you get,
Audrey's like, no,
it doesn't. It doesn't 100%. Matter at this point. You know,
what do you say? What if your husband Audrey were to say, "How many guys have you slept with?"
Well, whenever we, because you know, whenever you're playing that 21 questions game, when you're, this is so annoying when you're trying to figure out each other and the like stages. I feel like everyone always goes under. Even if they're interested, I don't think it would necessarily really matter. But I feel like it's almost like an ego pet. Like, yeah, like you're going to be my fourth, or like you're going to be my third. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is about that and why it ever mattered. I think times are totally different now.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm out of the dating game. But I also don't think 30 plus year olds are asking how many people you've slept with and if you are, you're childish. I feel like that's a very adolescent question.
Yeah,
it is, for sure. Yeah, and I think that we all learned along the way, like if you give somebody the real answer because you're like, oh, well, this person's asking me and they care so much, and then you give it to them and then they lose it. You're like, what? Why?
Why'd you ask?
Yeah. But Ian, I mean, you're the most open sexually of any of us on the show.
Why, thank you.
And, well, I mean, normally you are at least. Except, yes.
All right.
Except for when you were on the overshare chair and you wouldn't talk about your number. I mean, Mahoney will gladly talk about his number.
Which is what?
I don't know.
Over 50. Well over 50. Maybe over 100.
Maybe.
Maybe.
He's the Will Chamberlain of the Dave Mahoney Morning Show.
Very nice. I have low standards.
But instead of in the NBA, he was a door-to-door salesman for a long time.
So, exactly. But we're all below the triple digits, right? All below 100?
Oh, are we?
I don't know. I'm asking.
You see?
Are we?
That's Ian's problem. He's at like 400.
I'm not judging. I respect my partners too much. I don't want to, you know, I'll give them a good number. 10.
That's what I'm saying.
10 is a good number. It's not too high, not too low. You feel good about yourself. You don't feel too bad about telling them, and hopefully they don't ask for names.
You can't ask for names.
No. Yeah. No, you can't ask.
And that's one of the other things. But, like, you never tell your significant other, somebody, even if you come across like them in public or whatever, like you run into them somewhere, like
there is something magical about running into somebody that you've slept with in public and them also pretending like you're a total stranger because your mutual significant others are there and you just don't want all that drama. You're just nice to meet you as well.
We don't even need to say hi.
Yeah.
I see you over there.
Walk past.
No, but has it ever happened to you where it's been like, hey, this person happens to be friends with this person, and then you're like meeting each other?
I had a...
That has happened to me before.
Well, like, one of the... I was at a grocery store once with my wife, and my ex-girlfriend was right behind me. Oh. Like literally, in line.
Oh, really?
I thought she was working.
No. And, this was like the girlfriend who I dated right before my wife. So, like,
It was fresh.
So, no, it wasn't fresh. Just years later, but still, you know, her and I have always been friendly.
Right, yeah.
And,
were you as friendly as you had been whenever you got your new girl with you, who is now your wife?
It was awkward. You know, my ex thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny. You know, because it's like,
actually like this one. Stop it.
Well, no, it's like, I don't want my wife to know anybody who I dated in the past. No. Like, you don't need, to see them.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, that. Like, that does not, like, these worlds do not need to intermingle.
Collide, yeah, for sure.
For any way, shape,
or form.
Well,
what happens if you have somebody, I have a friend.
A friend, yeah. Yeah, we all have friends.
Yeah.
Who found out someone's number after they already had slept with them.
I mean.
And they were the one who brought it on in the conversation.
Then that's on them.
That's on them.
That's on them. Why?
Why would you ask that? There's never a good answer.
There was no ask. It was just presented. Like, almost of like, how was it? Yeah.
You're number 58.
This is how many I've slept with, so I bet it was really great.
It's like if you got deli ticket counter next to the bed, now serving.
This one.
Serving person number.
Texted over to us 1,000. From Nicole at Nellis Air Force Base. Said, I once told my teacher in my freshman year of college that she looked hot when she was yelling at the class, which she did all of the time. She didn't get that I was making fun of her and totally took it as me making a pass at her. And so she started making moves on me, started sliding me notes during class and winking at me. So I banged her and got an A.
No way.
My man. Yes.
No way.
My man.
That's what she said. Yes. No, that's Nicole said that.
Oh.
And she hooked up with her female professor in college.
My woman.
My girl. Ooh.
My woman.
And one final one here from Tiffany in Oceanside.
I'm shook.
I can't believe that.
I love that.
Tiffany in Oceanside said, I used to be a dancer when I was legit working my way through school. And I told my boyfriend about it when he asked what my craziest job was after we'd been dating for 5 months. Keep in mind, this was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
He just could not handle it. Everything became a fight. He always acted insecure as hell and finally broke it off with me by telling me that I wasn't wholesome enough for him.
Gaslighter.
That is some serious little D energy.
No kidding.
Which checks out because you have a little D, Adam.
Oh! Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
When we were building the I-11, someone stole a loader and drove it because they didn't want to walk. It took them about 3 hours to drive it, and there's a bunch of beer cans in it when we found it.
Message deleted.
So we were talking about the most significant thing that's ever been stolen from your work, a loader. And then you were like drinking and driving the loader at the same time.
Sounds
but that
like
seems
a good time.
It seems dangerous, man.
Yes, but also awesome. I mean, you're gonna go to jail, but maybe worth it. You never like went to construction sites when you were a kid, and
have you seen those things that they have now where it's like for grown-ups and like a lot of bachelor parties go to them, but like you can go out to a construction site and like use all of the construction equipment.
Oh yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I think it was featured on Shark Tank. Like one of the, I think like Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, invested in it or something.
There was one in Las Vegas for a while. I don't know.
I think it's still.
I don't know if it's still open.
I think it's still open, but it's like you go out there and it's like heavy machinery, and I don't
think. Me and my boys are gonna get together, have a couple of drinks, and build a rec center.
I mean, really honestly, excited. No. I mean, if I was hammered and you told me I could knock down a building with a wrecking ball. Doesn't that sound
that
awesome?
Actually sounds
I mean,
pretty cool.
Dave, I don't really think that that's what you get to do. I bet it's just like you get to sit on top of like the cat trailer and then just kind of like swivel.
Take pictures.
No, you get to like dig out holes and drive bulldozers and
you
like
do?
Dude,
yeah.
Use like
that
one of those.
That seems like a liability.
Do you get the wrecking ball?
I think the wrecking ball. Well, you get the front loader, which is cool as hell.
Because I feel like with a wrecking ball, I would definitely swing that thing out and then swing it right back and hit myself.
Yeah.
Right in the kisser. Pow! Ow!
Oh, you really
worst game of tetherball ever.
You get Miley Cyrus instead.
Yeah.
Oh, that would definitely be me if I did that. I would be naked on the wrecking ball. Yes.
Just wearing combat boots?
That's it. That's all I need.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Okay, Ann. A question for my husband, Bo. Wants to know if you ever had a male relationship, you know, a man relationship between you and another guy when you were younger.
Message deleted.
Wait, a man relationship between me and another guy?
Yeah, have you had a gay experience?
I've kissed a handful of men.
A handful of men?
Yeah, one for monetary reasons. Like,
how much did you get paid?
Oh no, I was like his little toy, I guess. It was like when I first
You're
started going
pet?
To yeah, when I first started going to college in Chicago, he was super super rich and he lived like
You
the
were a sugar
magnificent
baby.
Mile.
He you lived were a there. Sugar baby?
Yeah. He would like give me money and he would have parties and stuff.
How
like,
much money did he give you?
He would just give me like a couple $100.
I mean, that's a big deal though.
Oh, it was huge for me. It was really, really cool. And it helped pay for my tuition. And
I was gonna say at the time, did you know you were sugar babying?
Oh yeah, I knew I was taking advantage.
Like full on.
Not
like
make out or anything like
just
that.
Wanted
it, was,
your time.
It was just like, hey, good to see you. You know, miss you. That kind of stuff.
Which you could just say that's European of you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That's how I justified
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very Italian.
Hey,
of
man.
You. My family, my stepdad is Italian. Their whole family, all mouth kissers. All the Italians in his family are like, hey, hello.
Yeah. Never been in a full relationship, though, and nothing besides just a little peck on the lips. Nothing.
That's it.
Nothing
yeah,
further.
It's European. Good, yeah, good
but,
for you, Ian.
But Mary's husband, I'm more concerned as to why Mary's husband wants to know that.
Well, I mean, maybe he's got some money.
I don't, maybe he does.
Some blueberry wine coolers
you,
for
I mean, you.
You
got a kid on the way, man. You gotta start saving.
That,
yeah.
Put yeah. that Whoa, Venmo in your bio.
I should.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys, how would you rate your gag reflexes?
Message deleted.
Well, Mahoney has showed us the trick that he has before where he knows how to deactivate his gag reflex. Go ahead and tell us how you do
Anybody
it again.
Anybody can do it. You take your thumb,
uh-huh.
you put it in the middle of your hand, you
right.
take the other four fingers, you cover them up, uh-huh. kind of like an like the way you're not supposed to punch.
Like a really bad fist.
The worst
with
punch
your, with
ever.
With your thumb tucked then, as tightly under
and then
your
you
four
squeeze
fingers
it,
possible.
And so your brain or whatever reason, it shuts down your gag reflex. For that, because there's the pressure over here.
Has anyone else tried this? Did you try it whenever?
No, I have not tried it.
Why are you holding a stapler?
I want Mahoney to try it with a stapler.
Will you try it with a stapler?
I can't even open my mouth that big.
Yes, you can. Yes, you got a big old mouth.
I bet you can if you try.
I've got a good gag reflex. But when it comes to things like eating salad, salad makes me throw up. So, like that, in that sense, my gag reflex is weak like a little bitch.
Even if you did the gag thing with the salad, you'd still throw up?
Yeah, I can't do it. And smell, certain smells.
So you could take a stapler, but not a leaf. Now we have people trying this. So Shane, who's in the chat at twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney, said, I tried it. It doesn't work for me. So now we have people gagging themselves while watching and listening along.
Because you're fake news, Mahoney.
Yeah, it's not fake news. It works for me. Results may vary. I'll put a little asterisk under it.
Here's what's making news.
All right, so just a heads up, like this could certainly be like a trigger warning. This is some terrifying audio. There was a guy that was in downtown Las Vegas, and he shows up at this house, and there's a Ring doorbell like there is on many homes, right? And he comes up and he rings the doorbell, and a woman is home by herself, and she doesn't recognize this guy. And just to kind of give you a visualization of what he looks like, he had like a long, scraggly, but pretty full gray beard. He was wearing a tank top.
Gray, messy tank top. Yeah, like bad a tattoos. Dirty.
He looked like a drifter.
He looked like somebody who had murdered you on the side of the road.
Well,
for
and
sure.
That's what he was threatening to do. So
yeah, this is a horrifying video.
Yeah, so it's terrifying. They released it because they were looking for the guy. They caught him, thankfully. But I mean, again, just it's scary.
I just rang your doorbell because I have a couple questions for you. Are you positive? Are you sure?
How are you?
Nobody's talking back to him. That went on for like 2 minutes.
Right.
And he just kept saying that over and over again. And then finally voice we just hear.
That's the husband.
That's the first time somebody responds through the ring.
So the wife's home and she's like, I ain't talking to this guy. Like, no, not a chance I'm talking to this guy. And then the husband gets on, because if you have a Ring camera, then you're familiar with this. But in case you don't, you're able to pipe into your Ring camera and it makes you sound like you're home, even if you're just talking on your phone from wherever you are, which is the case in this situation. The husband was not home, and so he comes on and goes, who are you?
Who are you?
What?
Who are you?
Yeah, can you hear me? What I'm looking for is for the girl that's in the house to come out here, because I'm going to rape her and kill her. Can you have her open the door?
So I don't know if you could hear that, but he said, I'm looking for the girl that's in the house because I'm going to rape and kill her.
Yeah, horrible.
Horrifying.
And like the thing that's kind of aggravated me so far about this story, obviously watching this video, it's just horrifying, and I feel so bad for this family. Thank God nothing like worse happened, but they haven't released this guy's name. Like, put this guy's stuff out there.
Yeah.
Like, they're like an unidentified person who you've arrested. Identify this piece of garbage.
For sure.
Like, and then keep him, all, like, if you are going to a stranger's house, knocking on the door, saying those sorts of things, like, you don't need to be on the streets.
I mean, I can't imagine a much more terrifying thing, except for when he added, I have a knife and gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, terrifying for first and foremost, obviously, the poor girl that was at home by herself.
And the husband.
But then the husband, too, is sitting here going, oh, my God, there's a guy who's threatening to rape and kill my wife outside
and
of the
I'm
house.
Not here.
Knocking on the door. Ugh. Thank God they caught him. So there's talk about this, and you guys tell me what you think. There's calls for a tax on sugary drinks, so basically a soda tax. Do you think that this should be put in place? Because there's taxes on basically everything else that's bad for you. They tax cigarettes more.
I would say the only way that I would be okay with this is if you get a single payer healthcare system going. You know, like if it's a taxpayer-funded system. If not, let the market sort itself out.
So the tax.
I get why they do it in the UK, because they have that over there, but over here we don't. So like otherwise, to me, it's just gouging. Don't try to gouge me while I'm drinking Coke.
They're saying that the higher rates would try to combat things like obesity, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, tooth decay, all that stuff.
But why does a tax need, like, again, if I'm getting something for this? Like, if there's something extra that is going to, like, it's going to go to, like, provide somebody else healthcare who doesn't have it, then maybe. But otherwise, it's just a gouge.
Make healthy food more convenient.
Yeah. Stop subsidizing corn.
Start subsidizing healthy food, organic food that people can get access to. Because, as we all know, going to the grocery store and buying healthy food, it costs four times as much.
So, and that also just goes bad. Whenever you're trying to make something last for a family, especially if you don't have things to make ends meet as regularly as some of the more fortunate, if I'm trying to make a head of lettuce last for a week or a, you know,
how do
a,
my
or
bananas
rice
go brown from the drive from the grocery store to my house? What happens?
Ned in our chat said, why is soda cheaper than water in some places?
Yeah, yeah. You can get a two, well, water bottles now, but are a little bit cheaper. But at the same time, it's a water bottle for $35, for 35 individual water bottles for $3. Or you can go and get, like, when you're couponing, you can get like 9 2-liters for $2.
It's crazy.
If you coupon correctly.
This is a nanny state thing too far. And also, if we've learned anything, adding extra taxes to our vices doesn't, you know, I think tax them, sure. But tax them at the normal rates that we normally do. But like the added tobacco tax hasn't stopped anybody in New York from smoking.
This kind of just feels like it's also, I know it's trying to cloak itself as, oh, we're so concerned for the obesity rates, but there's so many other things that you can do besides taxing Coke.
So don't eat the muffins. This is a heads up for anybody that is a big fan of muffins. There is a couple of big brand names, including Uncle Wally's. Anyone ever heard of Uncle Wally's muffins?
I haven't. Sounds good. Me either. I love muffins.
And a bunch of the store brands, though. So like the generic muffins that you'd buy at big places like Walmart, 7-Eleven, Stop and Shop. Consumers who have these products should immediately dispose of the products and eat them.
Oops.
They're saying that they could be laced with Listeria, which causes things like food poisoning, diarrhea, fever.
Oh, I've seen these. These are the ones that are prepackaged. Honestly, these are almost at every single gas station.
They're all over the place. Yeah. So if you are normally like going to the gas station to grab a muffin for breakfast and a coffee, do not. Because adults 65 and older, especially pregnant women, people who have weakened immune systems and are at risk for higher risk for severe illness from Listeria, I mean, this can be deadly. So they're saying that Walmart brands affected by the recall include the Freshness Guaranteed, the Market Side, and the Great Value, which is the Walmart brand of muffins. So the Give and Go said it's aware of the issue as part of the environmental monitoring program, has not received reports of illness related to the issue yet, but they're saying out of an abundance of caution, if you have any of those muffins, it is time to toss them out.
Devin in our chat said, as long as the Costco muffins are safe, I am good, and I will concur. The muffins from Costco may be the greatest store-bought muffins you can find.
Don't get those poppy seed ones, though, if you got a drug test. You're going to pop, and then you're going to be jobless.
Who even orders up? Like, why would you even order a poppy seed muffin?
Lemon poppy seed.
You remember that story from, I don't know, a few months ago where the
banana
mom
nut
got her baby taken away because it showed that she was like an opioid addict after she ate some poppy seed muffin?
She was just trying to get her breakfast on, man.
Yeah, man. She's trying to eat a tasty-ass muffin.
Blueberry and banana nut or nothing.
Mm. Ooh, chocolate chip.
No, chocolate Woo-hoo! Chip in a muffin.
No, chocolate and muffins?
You're a monster. No. You're a monster.
That's dessert for breakfast, baby.
Yeah, you don't need to be having dessert for breakfast.
Yeah, dude, don't you tell me what I can't eat.
Get your chocolate chips out of here, man. Come on.
The David Mahoney Morning Show present The Internet is Awesome.
The internet brings us so much joy, and it also exposes us to things that we would never have access to before. Like, how would we have known that this vehicle went flying off the road, careening off the road, and Dukes of Hazzard style, went flying in the air so high after hitting an embankment that it almost clipped the power lines?
How was this? Did this person live? I saw the video, but I didn't.
This person didn't just live. She got taken to the hospital, and then a couple of hours later, walked out of the hospital on her own accord. Walked out. Not wheeled out in a wheelchair. Walked out.
With two legs.
Fine. Did just fine.
I mean, can you walk if you don't have two legs?
Considered walking?
If you only had one and you didn't have prosthetic, I think you could only hop. You would hop out.
But if you were missing both legs, you can scoot.
Yeah, but that's not walking out. They'd be scooting out.
Yeah, I mean, you can also boot and boogie, but scooting is what you do if you don't have legs.
Fair enough.
So this lady went flying in the air. I guess she was speeding and missed a turn.
How you missed the turn this badly?
I mean, because she was moving. But she goes flying through the air, and 20 feet in the air, lands upside down. And the reason why we're able to hear about this is because there was somebody, this couple, cruising along, having a normal conversation about life as it is. And they have a dash cam camera on the front of their car, so it's recording. And they caught the whole thing nuts.
I'm gonna wash my truck tomorrow. I just came, there's two more things I need to put on that list. Oh, my God. 911, 911.
911,
I'm glad you said something.
But why were they filming? Like, well, I mean,
because dash cam cameras just this roll.
Oh, that was a dash cam. I thought it was her.
No,
I'm like,
it was dash
cam. Why are you filming? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most ridiculous videos that we've ever seen.
So, as we know, we recently lost Biz Markie at 57 years old, and I don't think that this has anything to do with his passing. It was just a beautiful tribute that Ian was able to find for a round of Cover Your Ears. This is somebody doing just a friend, but with a very unique take. Let's have a listen.
Do
tienes lo que necesito. Pero lo llamas un amigo. Tan solo un amigo. Oh, baby, tú tienes lo que necesito. Pero lo llamas un amigo. Tan solo un amigo. Oh, baby, tú.
Oh, baby, tú.
Tienes lo que necesito. Pero lo llamas un amigo.
It's a learn. It's an easy way to learn Spanish.
Nana said in our chat, twitch.tv/David Mahoney. I didn't know I spoke Spanish.
You sure do, friend. So we play this game on the show. It's relatively new. It's called Mull It Over, where we feature three stories and we're trying to figure out which one of the perps has a mullet. And it sometimes can be tricky. Like this last week when we played it, all three of them sounded like they absolutely could have had mullets. But it turns out that the totally naked guy who was only wearing a poncho running down the street was, in fact, the guy with the mullet, right?
Oh, no. Actually, no.
Oh, no, this is the one that didn't have the mullet.
This gentleman was bald, actually.
He was bald, scared. And he claimed that his junk was so small that you couldn't see it, and so that's the reason why
he's not an offender.
He's not an offender, even though he was hanging out.
That was all of the mullet energy, though.
Yeah, no, the guy with the hatchet was the mullet guy, right?
Indeed. Yeah, always the hatchet.
You're wearing
according
a poncho.
To reports, when deputies spoke with Van Alphen, he said his private parts were too small for anyone to see anyway.
That sounds like I got a weird sense of humor. It sounds crazy, and I don't belong in the asylum, but I was playing cowboys and Indians in the house all by myself.
That laugh at the beginning is just screams crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I got...
He sounds like he's chewing on his laugh.
Oh.
He's like chewing on
anyway.
It just sounds crazy, but it's not. I was playing
Cowboys and Indians by myself in the house. Hold on.
That sounds like I got a weird sense of humor.
That's not a weird sense of humor. You're a predator, you weirdo.
Yuck. I don't like him. I don't like him at all.
Like that. You know what I do like? I like this guy. He works for Frito-Lay. And he is very mad at Frito-Lay. This is from Bleep BS. He was going ham. So there's this reporter out there that's talking to him about the working conditions at Frito-Lay, and he just went off.
I'm hot. I'm tired. I'm mad. They got a 84 week in this thing. Do it look like my 84? Chester Cheeto, he ain't got to worry about this type of. He just get on his motorcycle, and he gone.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So it's kind of creepy, but also kind of awesome. And I feel like Ian would love this. Tell me if I'm wrong. So there's an auction of Wild West items that is going to go up for auction next month. And they're saying that the gun that killed Billy the Kid in 1881 is up for auction. They're expecting it's going to fetch between $2 and $3 million when it hits auction on August 27th. But you would love this, wouldn't you?
Oh, I love pieces of history like this. I search out stuff like this. We actually live pretty close to somewhere that has the Bonnie and Clyde car.
Oh.
And it's probably like 45 minutes. I try to visit that at least once every couple of months.
How many bullet holes does that thing have in it?
Too many.
Really?
Yeah, they went hard. Well, it was their fault.
The feds were making a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like that's just, is it worth a couple million dollars?
The gun that killed Billy the Kid? Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Buy an NFT of LeBron dunking?
Or just, how about you just put the money into something that's actually...
No, I'm saying if you have stupid money.
If you have stupid money
and you want a collector's item, like a Kurt Cobain guitar, awesome. Totally worth it. Like the lyrics where he like originally wrote out like Smells Like Teen Spirit or something like that you could frame. Totally cool. Like I'm a fan of, you know, like autographed jerseys and baseballs and stuff like that. The gun that killed Billy the Kid, that is some next level stuff.
That's
way cooler than than like a Babe Ruth baseball card.
I agree with you. Yeah. It's history.
It killed Billy the Kid.
Do you really? I don't know. It just seems
it shot William the Child. I mean, that is great.
Why are you such a bummer about
William
this?
William the Adolescent.
All I know is that Emilio Estevez was the best Billy the Kid ever in Young Guns 2.
So you are a fan of Billy the Kid?
No, I'm a fan of Emilio Estevez.
Okay, so what if the gun that is eventually going to kill Emilio Estevez goes up for auction?
No.
Would you be interested in that?
So if somebody comes for Emilio Estevez, I'm coming for them.
What if it was the gun that Emilio Estevez defended against his killer.
His honor.
With.
Yes.
He shot the killer.
Yes.
And it's okay. So
there we go.
There you go.
There we go.
Okay. So a sprawling waterfront, speaking of big money, a sprawling waterfront property in upstate New York that once housed a notorious nudist colony and a dude ranch is for sale for $19.95 million. It's 164 acres private property, gained fame in the 1930s as the home of the Fresh Air Club, which is a nudist colony that got a lot of media attention. And there's a controversial book back in 1932. It was called Ongoing Naked by Jan Gay. It's a 7,000-square-foot private home with two separate guest cottages, a caretaker's house, a kennel, a three-car garage, a three-story barn, and a man-made lake. If you can just ignore the carpet stains, this is a beautiful home.
Seems a little pricey, though, right?
19.5.
Yeah, 19. That's
a lot.
I mean, they're saying that they're renting it out during the pandemic for $5,000 a night on Airbnb.
Also, like, I don't like that it's a gender-specific ranch. I mean,
a dude ranch?
Yeah,
what is a dude ranch? Is that like a brothel but for dudes?
No, it's just a ranch for like people who aren't good cowboys.
Like there's a bad cowboy
ranch?
Yeah,
you're a dude. That's what a dude is.
A dude's a bad cowboy?
Yeah.
It's a ranch you could just come
guy
and visit.
Doesn't know how to ride.
Yeah, it's just a ranch where you essentially teach people how to like be cowboys. Huh. And like hang out and stuff. But for $5,000 a night, I would just rather go to a resort.
I mean, for $5,000 a night, you can get a pretty kick-ass room anywhere in the world.
They have ranch resorts.
That's like 2 weeks vacation, man. Like, what are you, $5,000 a night?
People got too much money. And if you are willing to spend it frivolously, send some my way at Poor Girl on Venmo.
At Poor Girl.
That's really it. Poor Girl.
So there was a teenager. You guys
is
have
it
seen those.
P-O-O-R or P-O-U-R, since you used to be a bartender.
Yeah, you know what? That would have been good. But no.
Did you really get the Venmo handle Poor Girl?
Yeah.
It's just at Poor Girl?
Yes. Genius. I know.
Oh my God. Why have you not put this out there before? Venmo at Poor Girl, all of your money right now. In fact, if we can. Okay. Can you make me.
I'm embarrassed.
Can you make me a promise that if we are able to raise $2 to $3 million. That you will buy the gun that killed William the Adolescent.
I promise.
Yes. Okay.
I promise.
There we go. We have it, folks. At Poor Girl on Venmo. So a seagull was stuck to a girl's face while riding a slingshot ride.
She got Fabio'd.
She did. She was on. You've seen those slingshot rides, right? So shoots them up into the air. And as they're going, you know, her friend next to her is screaming. And she is silenced because the seagull just... And just lands there, and the seagull, you can tell, is just as surprised as she is. And then she takes it and, like, chucks it off.
I think that seagull was dead.
No, the seagull was fine.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought her head, like, killed it.
I don't think so. Let's have a listen.
I waited till we spun over, and then I quickly took it off of me because I didn't know if it was going to hurt me. The seagull just flew away, and... The only thing that happened to me was a little tiny cut. That was all.
See,
it just happened so quick.
I saw this video. That seagull did not fly away.
It didn't. No.
If your definition of flying is like it was in the air.
It was in the air.
And then it was on the ground.
Well, it was going towards the ground. We don't know if it hit the ground.
No, that was a dead seagull.
All right.
Watch the David Mahoney Show live every morning on twitch.tv/David Mahoney.
So every single week, Ian jots down all of our mistakes, and he creates a brand new blooper reel. And it's embarrassing every week. And Audrey hates it, but we do it nonetheless. If you want to watch her misery, twitch.tv/David Mahoney. Ian, is there a star of the blooper reel this week?
Would you really consider
this
person a star?
Yep.
I would definitely say, in terms of bloopers, Audrey did have a rough week. But Dave... Definitely the star, along with my favorite Aretha Franklin. I have to thank her.
It's the that's the blooper reel.
No, I was thinking like you were like hiding drugs or something.
Oh no, I've never hidden drugs drugs up my butt. Drugs up my butt.
They will be read, and they, because every whim was not to their fullest delight. They will be read, and they, because every whim was not to their fullest delight.
After finding that it elevated levels of cancer-causing agents in the pills.
Oops. Oh, cool.
Finding that it elevated levels of cancer-causing agent.
It doesn't matter if It's a guy catcalling a girl or girl catcalling a guy. It's a guy catcalling a girl or girl catcalling a guy.
You couldn't afford it, right?
Interesting. Sure. And $15 in a major metropolitan area. And $15 in a major metropolitan area.
So she's like Edward Allan Poe's beating heart. So she's like Edward Allan Poe's.
Imagine that prisoner chain gang. That prisoner chain gang.
So she's like Edward Allan Poe's
area.
Oh, cool.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So we've heard a lot about this, you know, 14-day quarantine that people in Australia are forced to do. And if you come back to Australia after being out of the country, you're forced to stay in a hotel for some time. Well, one man in Australia, in Perth specifically, was trying to escape the mandatory quarantine in a hotel by scaling down the side of the hotel by tying some bed sheets together.
Okay,
like
Spider-Man.
You see in the movies. And
no,
scaling
this is like
down
more
four
like a Goldilocks.
Floors.
Like James Bond.
Not Goldilocks. Who's
Rapunzel.
The Rapunzel, yeah, with the long hair.
Yeah, Goldilocks got it. 8.
The man was told to leave the state within 48 hours and taken to a hotel for temporary quarantine before being booted. Because you cannot escape your mandatory quarantine. He tried to do it, though, by tying bed sheets together and scaling down. I mean, 4 stories, 40 feet up. You
and you're trusting bed sheets?
And you're going to die. Like, what are you tying the bed sheets to? If you think about a hotel room, the bed...
Maybe
that's the only thing that
what
probably couldn't fit through the window.
What hotel has windows that open?
Right?
Other than like a balcony, duh. But I mean, if you're quarantining people, like choosing to have one that's a balcony whenever you have first floor options sounds kind of dumb.
I know is that anytime like bed sheets, I would not trust my life to some bed sheets.
Definitely not. Yeah. And definitely not to my not tying ability.
Well,
because one of those comes out.
What if it's the bed? Are you talking like the bed sheet, like the fitted bed sheet? Like that thing has that thing's not holding anything.
Fitted bed sheets are at actual chaos. I tried to fold one yesterday.
Impossible to fold.
It just I was like, all right,
just
this is
throwing
the ball.
Somehow, honey, you're
kicking into a corner.
You're much more. I mean, we both love like some nice whiskey or some nice scotch or whatever it is. But you are much more likely than I am to pay up for it. What's the most that you've ever paid for a bottle of booze?
Most I've ever paid for a bottle of booze, I think, was $500 for the Whistlepig Boss Hog.
Okay, so didn't we buy some Pappy one time as a gift?
Yeah, think so.
You gifted Pappy?
Yeah, but
I think it was
another nice like $1,000?
I think we each went $500.
I think we each went
$500
on that.
Were you guys trying to get a job?
That's for an attorney. He got us out of some trouble.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Well, that's kind. That's deserving.
Saved us a whole bunch of money.
But the reason why I bring it up is because there is a group of treasure hunters that have been searching this Canadian lake to find some unusual sunken treasure, a bottle of whiskey that has reportedly been in the lake since 1964. And so you think about, you know, okay, back in the 60s, someone like hid their whiskey in the lake. What was it? Like it was some crazy bootlegger situation or running from the law or whatever it is. Not exactly.
What
I guess this whiskey has been in the bottom of this lake ever since one of the neighbors crashed his boat into a dock in 1964.
So he was drunk, transporting the booze. Okay.
But there was like a stash of underwater bottles, and people started finding them. And so it became this thing where this group of treasure hunters were like, we have to find this whiskey. And sure enough, said that they went down and they found a bottle of whiskey that had been down there that's 69 years old.
But here's the thing. I know that seems like, oh, the whiskey's aged. It's this older stuff. But whiskey, if it's not in a barrel, stops aging.
Well, yeah, but still.
So it's just a vintage.
It's
not like been aged 70 years.
Right.
It's just been sitting in a bottle.
I bet that thing tastes like a water park.
What's cool?
That's got to be so gross.
Man, this thing tastes like Cowabunga Bay. What's going on here?
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea. It's Pop Trash.
So the new Dune trailer is out, and they are begging you to go see it in theaters. Are you going to go see it in theaters,
yes,
Mahoney? Yeah,
Dave,
are you?
This is one of these movies that needs to be seen, not in just a theater, but like an IMAX theater.
So October 22nd is the date when they are going to be opening this, and Warner Brothers just released a new three-minute trailer showcasing a whole bunch of new footage from the film. This is the obviously very abbreviated version, but have a listen.
The Emperor asks us to bring peace to Arrakis. House Atreides accepts.
I know you. There's something awakening in my mind.
You need to face your fears.
Come with me.
Woo! Yeah, that does it for
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The visuals, if you have not seen this, it's on YouTube. It is. It looks amazing. I mean, and you've got a stupid cast, too. I mean, Jason Momoa, Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Josh Brolin, Dave Bautista, Oscar Isaac, Javier Bardem is in there, Stellan Stalagrad. Every hard-named person in Hollywood is in this movie.
I do apologize. I cut off the trailer just 1 second too short. Here's the very end.
Fears.
Come with me.
Who has my pig?
Stop. Dave, nobody was going to go see Pig.
Yeah, everyone should go see Pig. It's getting great
reviews.
I'm not
going to go to the theater, but I'll watch it when it's like $3.99 to rent on.
Don't look so disappointed in me.
No, I'll see a Pig Dune kind of crossover. That actually sounds pretty good.
So what is Dune? Is this just...
It's one of the most...
The Chicago Tribune said it's one of the monuments of modern science fiction.
Oh, I think
as far as books go, yes.
I think it goes beyond that. You know, I mean, this is
it's
like,
a whole
this,
book
this
series,
is more
though,
than
right?
Tolkien.
And they have like board games and computer games and everything
else.
I was
going to say, can you explain this to someone who has no idea what
it would be? So think about how passionate people are about Star Wars.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now add that to a book.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
now,
okay.
And it's been like that. I mean, the book came out, I mean, what is it, in the 70s? 80s?
Sure.
I can't remember. I don't know exactly. I just know that I got it when I was pretty young.
It had to have been the 70s because the film adaptation was done in 84 originally.
Oh, the David Lynch one.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
1965 is when the book originally came out. But so it's, you know, we're looking at a long, long time, and this is the one that they're saying is going to be faithfully done. So as a fan, I'm looking forward to it, and I will 100% be back in the theaters to go see this.
So Anna Faris is remarried. She accidentally let it slip kind of on her latest episode of her podcast. Anna Faris is unqualified. She basically said that she married her fiance and didn't mean to say that she married her fiance, I guess. She said, now my husband, before apologizing to him for spilling the news. Yes, we eloped. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry, honey. I just blurted that out. But she did this on a podcast. Go back and edit it out. It's not live.
Yeah, edit and post. Anna, come on.
Yeah, come on, girlfriend. Get a better editing team.
No, I like her, man. I think I'm happy.
She got a raw deal.
I'm happy
Chris
for
Pratt
her. Yeah, Chris Pratt. Like, I don't know. Like, he just like he hits it with Guardians of the Galaxy, becomes a big star, then just like, see you later, see you never.
Get some abs and he ditches her.
Yep. Well, but also though, I don't understand like the hiding of whether or not you have a husband, or are you just trying to make it to where it was supposed to be this elaborate wedding and for press? Because otherwise, awesome. Congratulations.
Some people
I'm happy
just
you're married.
Want other people to know, which
well,
I understand.
But for what?
I get that.
You're already a couple.
You're doing a podcast. You're putting your business out there.
And
well,
you're already a couple.
You could do a podcast that's not necessarily about you being married.
But you're engaged. That's what I'm saying. It's not like they're hiding whether or not they're together. I get it if you're trying to like have your kid not be in the spotlight, or if you're trying to have your relationship for yourself to yourself and not broadcasting whether or not you're together, but everybody already knows they're an item, so it's kind of just weird.
I don't know. Somebody said in our chat, Hades said privacy. They deserve it.
Yes, they do.
I
but they're together. They're already engaged. Do you see what I mean? Like
Here's an interesting take. Cleve said being married can hurt your brand if you have a bunch of thirsty simps after you.
Who's simping for Anna Faris in 2021? She's gorgeous,
she's still hot.
Just.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no one's like out here simping for Anna Faris.
No, you don't underestimate. You underestimate the patheticness of dudes out here.
Like Shane's lame ass sent you a dollar on Venmo today to try to simp you.
$1.69.
Nice. It's beer for breakfast on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show, brought to you by Speedy Mart Las Vegas.
Well, all right then, friends.
All I want to do is drink beer for
We have made it to
another Friday. All I wanna eat is them barbecue. And I cannot wait to drink with you. All I want
is someone just to try to put. Okay, let's do that then.
Yeah,
the beer
I'm cool if you guys are cool.
That we are drinking on today's Beer for Breakfast, the Weldworks Brewing Triple Berry Cheesecake Berlin style sour ale is our featured beer that we have today. And like I said, we've worked very hard. I know if you're listening along right now, you've worked very hard. Hopefully you're drinking along with us right now. But the Triple Berry Cheesecake Berliner Sour has 4.5% alcohol by volume.
Check that out.
And today is being served from a 16-ounce colorful
aluminum
can. Adorned with lots of berries. That is a ridiculous pour, Dave. That like you took
I fit
that
the
to
entire
the limit.
16
His
ounces
cup almost
into the,
runneth over.
Yeah.
That is a true pint glass. Just to yep, that fits 16 ounces exactly.
It fit yes to the limit. I paid $19.99 for a 4-pack. The proper glassware. Serve this out of a pint glass or a mug. I like to serve this right around 40 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. The five categories in which we rate every single beer here on Beer for Breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. Let's start off with the look of the Triple Berry Cheesecake Berliner from our friends over there at Weldworks.
I mean, that is a creamy-looking beer in the sense that, you know, I mean, it's got a lot of
creamy
haze.
Raspberry haze to it, but it looks creamy.
On the can, Dave, they say nearly 2,000 pounds of blueberry, raspberry, and strawberry puree were used in the brewing of this beer. So that is a lot of fruit. And as you can see, it is very, very hazy. The Triple Berry Cheesecake pours a stunning ruby red grapefruit. I mean, I look at that and it just looks like the interior of a grapefruit. Produced about two fingers of very effervescent white head that held its retention for just about a minute. There was not much lacing down the side of my glass as it receded into the body. Let's all take a big whiff now and move on to the smell of the Weldworks Brewing Triple Berry Cheesecake.
It smells very sweet.
It does. A lot of fruit.
A lot of tart.
Yep. A lot of tart. A lot of fruit. Yep. Those are the two things that I'm getting.
Big tart berries that dominate this nose. Digging deeper, as Audrey pointed out, I feel like there is that faint sweetness in there and zero alcohol. Like, if you would have put this to my nose and said, what is this? Would I have said this is an alcoholic beverage? Maybe not. I mean, this does not have any traces of alcohol in it whatsoever, which isn't super surprising considering it is a lower ABV at 4.5% alcohol by volume. Let's move on to our favorite part of Beer for Breakfast, which is the taste, my friends. So cheers to you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to you. Cheers to me.
Sorry to wait around for the cheers.
Cheers to myself.
Yeah, I've been drinking too.
It's great.
Yeah, it's real good. I mean, it definitely has that tartness to it, like you would expect from a sour.
I like it.
The sweetness blends almost perfectly, though. It's well balanced. I don't know if I could have like three of these. I think that, you know, one or two and done type of thing. But this is actually, because we've had other sours that are heavier. I think that this actually could be a like pool or lake beer.
Yeah. This is very light. Mm-hmm. Ian, your thoughts? You're traditionally, you like sours. But
I love sours.
You don't, I don't know how you feel about berry sours.
Yeah,
though.
It when it comes to my sours, I really like a real heavy tart. Uh-huh. I'm not getting that much with this particular beer, but what I am getting in exchange for that is a wonderful kind of palette of flavors.
Yes.
The cheesecake, especially at the end, I didn't think it would be that heavy, but the creaminess, I really enjoy.
Yeah, they use that milk sugar in there.
Mm. Very good.
Audrey, are you a fan of this beer or not, and
so
why?
Whenever I enjoy sours, they have to have that sweet background. And I actually, we did a sweet sour last weekend, and this one, I'm going to say, is better. And I think it's just because the balance is better for me. And honestly, maybe it's because the berries are better. I don't know what it is. The Weldworks just hit the nail on the head with the sour.
Jaded is asking you, do you think this is a bikini beer?
Yeah, this
opinion?
Is definitely a bathing suit beer because it is not like, well, Mahoney had a little bit of the burps earlier, but I'm drinking it and I'm not feeling like over the top bloated. And also, as far as the looks and the aesthetics of the can, it's a cute cute branding, cute can. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can take some cute selfies.
And the guys over at Wellworks, they've been around since, I believe, 2016. They've really made some really good beers. They're out of Greeley, Colorado, and you know, expanding their footprint across the nation. And they make really good beers. I mean, you just can't make a bad beer in this day and age and expect to remain in business for much longer. For me, the taste of the triple berry cheesecake Berliner Sour. For me, if you call a beer a triple berry anything, it better be a berry bomb. And this absolutely is and delivers on those berries. Big rush of raspberry, strawberry, and blueberry. That tartness hits up front. Gives your lips a little bit of pucker, but not a huge pucker. It does have that light sweetness that we pick in there, and it does blend well and balances out nicely.
Pucker.
Pucker.
And like the nose, zero alcohol present, but that's no surprise considering this is 4.5% alcohol by volume. The mouthfeel on this, it's light, nicely carbonated. I would call this beer very refreshing. And the overall drinkability for me, sours are love or hate beers for the most part for some people. So if you're not a fan of sweet tarts, if you've never had a sour beer and you don't like sweet tarts, I would say this beer isn't for you. But if you do like sours, this, in my opinion, is a really solid selection. It's nice and light, but isn't overly tart or sweet, so that balance hits really nicely. And I don't think, you know, Dave, you said you don't want to drink like six of these, but I do think this is definitely a beer that you can have more than one of beer and not like completely destroy
for sure
your palate
for
by
sure.
Overall, I think this is a great boat beer, and I'm pretty happy with this purchase.
Brought to us by our friends at Speedy Mart. Moment of truth, Mahoney, are you ready?
Oh, Mahoney's beer scale supremacy. I give the triple berry cheesecake Berliner from Wellworks a 3.9 out of 5.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's the hardest drug you've done? Dave, did you have a love affair with meth for the summer? Maybe Audrey went through the Tony Montana stage?
Message deleted.
No, I've never done meth.
No. I mean, I feel like I've done the normal things.
The party drugs.
I accidentally did PCP one time, and I didn't know.
I would die.
It was...
was it like laced in a joint or something
laced,
like that?
It was in it was angel dust on a joint.
They freak you out? What happened? Yeah.
Yeah, I was in high school, and we thought the weed was just hitting super hard because we made this, like, we had this paper towel roll.
Of course.
And for some reason, we decided to, like, cover it with aluminum foil, and then, like, the little bowl was made out of aluminum foil, too, and then we smoked it in this sweet-ass 1996 Eagle Talon.
But, I mean, I think that's your fault for assuming that anything that was smoked out of aluminum foil would not be laced.
I mean, it was, man, I lived in Missouri. We made that. That was our fault.
That was the smoking device. Yeah.
Because we couldn't have, because, like, back then, it was hard to get a pipe.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Long.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There was one store, and, like, you get caught with that, and then all of a sudden, your charges just tripled, which was so
true,
dumb.
For me, I mean, the paper towel rule, I mean, that's a master cylinder when it comes to smoking. It was always a pen, like a big pen. You just take the guts out and then take the pen and then take the tinfoil around
it. Your lungs are probably black.
Oh, yeah.
It's not from smoking. It's from all the ink.
Yeah.
I used to smoke with out of cans, too. Let's just be honest.
Cans, water bottles,
like, that's
apples.
That's got to just be giving me all the, like, cancers in the world.
For sure.
Like, just that was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. But, yeah, the PCP on the by accident was not – and we ended up at Taco Bell. Yeah, that was – I would not recommend
that. How did that Taco Bell hit, though?
It was pretty good.
Do you still have an appetite on PCP? It's like this weird, you're hungry because you smoked a bunch of weed, you got the munchies, but then you're also like Chris Tucker in a pigeon coop.
He ate it so fast.
Yeah.
This is like a race to finish his gordita crunch.
Gordita crunches didn't exist back then.
Dark
time.
Dark times.
Dark time.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, this is for all you people who say cha-cha-cha at the end of the happy birthday song. Why do you do it? I don't get it.
Message deleted.
Wait, I don't think I've ever heard this.
Happy
is this a thing?
Happy birthday to you. Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you. Cha-cha-cha.
Oh, what are you guys doing? Why are you doing
that?
Stop
what,
that.
I don't know who started it.
I don't like that.
Nobody likes that.
Why are you doing that?
Because that's what he said.
Who does
you look like? One, two.
I've never
did that too. That's aggressive. That was somebody who like did not like whoever's birthday it was.
Yeah, I'd be like, happy to be here celebrating, bitch.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Want to thank our great friends at Speedy Mart for being our official sponsor of Beer for Breakfast. There are a bunch of Speedy Marts, obviously, all around the city. I'm sure you've seen them before, but 17 of the locations have the craft corner. You can waltz right in and get some great beer.
And have expanded.
Yes.
Yeah, since we started doing it. Started off with 16 in a short period of time. Now they got 17, and great selection. Loved partnering with them on our Dave Mahoney Ratings Boost beer.
That
went crazy, and thanks for everybody who bought that and just sold that out with the quickness. But
we have heard a couple of reports of a few four packs showing up.
They're hiding around.
Yeah, like the one up by Speedway and stuff. So you might be able to find some if you swing by a Speedy Mart. But even if you're not going to look for the Dave Mahoney beer, it doesn't matter, right? There's tons of awesome craft beer. You walk into a gas station, and traditionally you think, okay, there's going to be like some wine coolers, those big 40 ouncers for whatever reason, and then some six packs. Not at the Speedy Marts. The craft corner is amazing.
Can I also just give a round of applause for every Speedy Mart employee that works?
They're so nice.
We were calling Mahoney and I just to trying to see like which locations still had your all's beer. And every single employee who answered the phone, some of the nicest people who I've ever spoken to.
Do you want me to call you back when we get some in stock? What's your number? I'll give you a buzz. You're like, really?
I mean, the customer service is phenomenal there, too. So if you're wanting to see whether or not that they've got the beer that you're looking for, just give them a call, and they will absolutely help you out.
105 degrees is the high today here in Las Vegas. And one final story. I don't know if you guys are a fan of Rachel's Kitchen, but the wife and I are.
Uh-huh.
After a year delay, Rachel's Kitchen is opening an 8th location in Las Vegas, this time going to be at Town Square. So we're excited to see our Town Square addition to the Rachel's Kitchen family. And one of the, I don't know if you'd call it a complaint, but there hasn't been like a lot of good breakfast type spots over at Town Square.
There's that one egg place.
Broken Yolk.
I haven't eaten there.
The Broken Yolk is up towards the front by Total Wine, right?
By where Fry's used to be,
And even that's relatively new the last couple of years.
Farm Table's kind of brunchy breakfast, but it's a little, they have a good happy hour, but that's
so
really it.
They have all day breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the menu features wraps, salad, sandwiches, burgers, pastas, healthy juices, fruit smoothies, the acai bowl, killer. Not a paid plug here. I just like Rich's Kitchen, and I'm excited there's another one. So over at Town Square, they're going to be opening up a new one after the delay, unfortunately, because of all the COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. But the new one is on the way, the 8th one in Las Vegas.
All right.
You guys got big plans for the weekend?
Absolutely nothing.
Love it.
I'm glad to be sitting at home doing nothing. All I want to do is play Call of Duty. And
some dudes doing the dudes.
Just playing Call of Duty, hit level 350 and calling it a day.
Level 350. Was that a flex on your
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. You guys have a great weekend.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home, sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.